The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost up positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh
grow. Welcome to episode 239 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living, and lately even chemtrails, as if you noticed in the last episode. Well, that one was actually live. It was supposed to go out yesterday, but there was a little bit of a mix up there, and we'll get it out. If you haven't seen it on YouTube, then it will eventually be on the podcast. So hang in there. We got a lot of irons in the fire, and things are just a little bit crazy around here right now. As you can imagine, when a Category 5 hurricane hits Western North Carolina, things get a little bit weird. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Handle all your preparedness needs yourself. That's how you save the most money, folks. Don't buy that stuff in a box or whatever the case may be. If you got your own freeze dryer, man, you know, knock it out yourself. Don't buy any of this stuff unless you really need it. But really, do everything you can to get all your dry goods and stuff yourself. And anything you can't get that you need to put back, well, that's maybe where you might want to hit up Heaven's Harvest. They got great seeds as well, too. So go check them out. 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right. If you want to tip a pimp, you know where to do it. Do it on the Fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. All right, y'all. So it's going to be another one of those condensed episodes. We got to have our download from my man, Eric, of course. But I just want to kind of give you all an update of what's going on here. And please be patient with me, folks, because there are a whole... Look, I'm already busy like everybody else. I mean, doing the things we're doing, we're already quite busy to begin with. And then when you add in the calamities and then doing what we're doing, trying to help, days get very long, I'll put it that way. So as far as the farm news, man, I'm going to kind of give y'all a heads up of what's going on out here. I know Dane probably freaked out a lot of people in that last episode, and if he did, good. I mean, maybe you needed it. Maybe you need to hear these things that are honestly unimpeachable. I mean, at this point, there is no argument. It's happening. These chemtrails or this aerosol spraying that they're doing, man, it's as real as it gets. And I suggest everybody who's unsure about it, go watch The Dimming, his documentary. That's one of his documentaries anyway. And folks, you got to know. I know a lot of people are saying, well, what can I do about it? Well, the start is, first of all, becoming aware of it. Know a little bit about the science. And then on the flip side, you know, maybe mobilize. Do what we're going to start doing out here, man. I'm going to start getting with the state reps or whatever. Man, maybe I need to run for office or something. I don't know, to be able to put in the legislation, whatever the case may be. But this stuff is just out of control. They can't call it conspiracy theory no more. Tennessee just passed that. They passed that law over there. So maybe we get it going in North Carolina. I'm definitely going to be reaching out to everybody I possibly can once we get our sea legs under us again. But things are a little bit weird around here, as you can imagine. So, before I get in, I'm like I said, things are going to be a little bit disjointed, so just bear with me. I don't believe the Homesteader meetup. I hit up Ben and Denise over at Renewed Homestead, that one on October 5th. I don't believe that's going to be happening. That would have been this Saturday. What a shame, because, man, I was really looking forward to that. With everything going on, and honestly, you'll know why it really doesn't make a whole lot. Well, I'll tell you what, maybe we can redo this Homesteader meetup, and I'll get to that in a minute. So, Mountain Readiness, as I understand it, is still going to be kicking off. That's going to be October 18th through the 20th in Harmony, North Carolina. Man, there's going to be a lot of special operators there, a lot of really awesome classes you're not going to find anywhere else. The pig processing, as far as I know, is still a go. The class for that's going to be with me and Jason from So the Land. The one from October 25th and 26th, that one's already sold out. So November 15th and 16th, we still got some seats there, y'all, if you want to get in. So be there, be square, man. And you'll also possibly learn some strategies of what to do when the power goes out, because we've not had power for a week and meat's still good to go. And you don't need that big a generator. I mean, I'm running, think about this, y'all. I'm running 8 freezers right now on a generator, on a single generator. And it's only pulling about, altogether, I think you can't just run everything at the same time. And I'll cover some of that in this episode as well. You got to be able to load shed. In fact, I'll just go ahead and cover it right now. Well, let me get with KSL. That's going to be the Kentucky Sustainable Living. That's going to be October 26th and 27th. William's going to be there. Michelle's not going to be there because at the same time, I got a pig processing and we're going to need somebody here. So we were thinking she was going to be able to make it, but that's probably not going to happen. Now, let me tell you how you can easily run multiple freezers with a, we're going to call this the farm news, with one generator. Now when I say a generator, I'm saying like a 240 volt, let's say it's a 5,000 watt generator. Okay. So we're running 1, 2, 3 refrigerators and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 freezers and everything else in the house. And this is all electrically based. We don't have any gas or anything else. Well, here's how you do it, y'all. You got to know to learn this term. It's called load shedding. So you only run what is necessary, obviously. So there's no way you're going to run on a 5,000 watt generator. Like I said, mine are considerably larger than that, but you could easily do what I'm doing on a 5,000 watt generator. And I'm talking like, I would suggest get a dual fuel if you don't have one, when it can run on either gasoline or propane. And I would seriously, now keep in mind, when you run on propane, you don't get anywhere near the output as you do on gasoline. It doesn't have the oomph that gasoline has. But you got a choice. It's literally a zero-sum game. If you think you're going to run your stove or your oven at the same time, I got news for you. Ain't going to happen. Also, if you have a water heater, so when you're making hot water in that house, that's usually 240 volts in most cases, unless you have gas. And in the case of 240 volt electric, you are not, trust me, it's going to take, there is nothing else you're running on that generator besides the water heater, okay, when you got to run it. So when you got to run the water heater, you could do like we do. Turn off everything for a little while, run just the water heater, maybe some lights. And, you know, when the water gets hot enough, turn it off. Now, it's going to be hot for a while, but it should be enough for you to get a few showers out of it before it turns cold again. Let's say you need to run the stove. Well, first of all, don't even think about the oven. That thing is going to make that generator just blow a fuse every single time. What you could do, actually, you could if it's low enough, but I don't suggest doing that. There's other methods of going about doing it. What I would highly suggest is if you're going to run one of the burners, never try to boil water unless you just absolutely have to. Try to do that outside under a fire or something like that, because it requires so much energy just to do that. But if you're going to cook some eggs or something like that, well, you're going to have to load shed, okay? Turn off all the freezers and all the stuff you have out there. Same thing. A washer, on the other hand, doesn't take a whole lot of energy. A dryer is 240 volt. Yep. And plus, anything that acts like a giant resistor, a hairdryer, a toaster, a coffee maker, an oven, you get the point? Anything like that is going to tax that system like nobody's business. So be smart about your preparedness and the way you do some of this stuff. Anything you can cook outside, let's say, okay, like us, we have a solar oven. Man, that thing will get everything done. You can even boil water in that thing. Anything you need done if the sun's shining, well, solar oven might be your number one go-to. Use your grill. Running a crock pot, even though it's something of a resistor, it's not as much energy as the other things around there. That is a really good way of going about it. Another thing you can do, like at night, okay, everything gets turned off. I'm not going to sit here and run a gasoline generator all night long, but your freezers can handle it for a long, long time. So let's say you're going to sleep for 8 hours. Well, night's when it's coolest anyway. Plus, that refrigerator and freezer is already, I mean, it's already insulated, highly insulated. As long as you don't get into it, you should be absolutely fine for that thing to be off for 8 hours. Absolutely no problem whatsoever. So think about those things. That's how on a 5,000 watt generator, you could run that many devices as long as you're smart about it. Now, you know, people leaving the lights on, all these other niceties that you just kind of expect around your house. Well, you're not going to have it unless you load shed, and you can do that. I mean, you can absolutely positively do it, and you can make yourself, you know, pretty squared away in with very little. Plus, you're going to save a ton of fuel if all you're doing throughout the day is running your generators in spurts, 2 hour intervals, you know, just to make sure the freezers are doing what they're doing. And then at that same time, let's say you got to plug your Wi-Fi in. Okay. Well, that's the 2 hours you get to work if you got to do something online. Or you could also, another little strategy I do, I also have these solar generators, the EcoFlow, and then I have another two other brands that I use as well. And one thing you can do, like with the refrigerator out in the kitchen, all of our critical stuff like the milk and stuff like that, I'll put that one on the EcoFlow all night long. And then during the day, if the sun's out, I'll use the solar panels to recharge it. I'm not going to use my generator if I can possibly help it. And you can leave, okay, one refrigerator on, the rest of them, you know, I got out there just chilling all for the night. You know, nothing critical is in there except what's in the freezer. And then the tighter you pack it, the more frozen it's going to stay. And in fact, that thing will be solid as a rock by the morning. I mean, it can go quite a while. If you doubt me, if you're wondering whether or not your fridge or freezer can handle, your freezer can handle it, you know, take a bunch of ice cubes, put them in a tray, and then stick them in there. Let them sit overnight with the power off and tell me if I'm wrong. The ice cubes will not be melted as long as you leave those doors shut. As long as you have a halfway, and I say halfway decent refrigerator. That's one of the strategies we go about using when we are low on power. And even though my generator can power this whole house, I don't do it. Here's why. One of the preparedness mistakes, man, it's embarrassing for me to admit it because, you know, this is my expertise, but I was caught slipping here. Okay. So, got propane, got gasoline in terms of generators. And I got two different, you know, gasoline and propane generators. And I can't believe how low I let myself get on gasoline. It's embarrassing, honestly, when I stopped to think about it. Now, we were good to go on propane. We were absolutely good to go. But two is one and one is none. But it got at one point down to where I was down to like 5 gallons. And I'm like, okay. And at that point, nobody knows when the gasoline is going to come again or if it's coming again. There was only one way into Asheville, and basically, which means one way into here. Gas stations were rationing the whole nine yards. So I let myself slip on that a little bit. So those are corrections I'm going to be making in the future, and also going to invest a little bit more into an uninterrupted power supply or a UPS. Not because I need power uninterrupted. It's just another, you know, think about this, y'all. Honestly, think about this. If you are on a pump, if you have a well, chances are your well pump, unless it's very shallow, is 240 volt. Okay, tell me how you're going to get water up out of that well if you don't have 240 volts. When most of these solar systems or like the EcoFlow, I mean, they do have a 240 volt version, but a lot of these other versions, good night, man. I mean, they're only 120. You're not going to take two 120s and get a 240 volt out of it. Although EcoFlow does make a design like that, where you could actually get that done. So that's one of the big, big hangups right there, y'all, in that you have got to have 240. You can always get 120 off of that 240, but you can't get 240 out of 120. And you can't put two 120s together. I mean, you can, but it's way more complicated than I'm willing to explain right here on the air. And a layperson is not going to be able to do this. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So you got to be thinking about that, y'all. All the things that run on 240 at your house, you got to be thinking about, okay, if I buy this generator, if all you get is 120 volts out of it, then it has a limited capability. So think about that stuff. But you can take that 120 volt EcoFlow and do some really awesome stuff with it. I mean, you really can. You can sit here, like I said, run your fridge at night. Or if there's some other critical devices, let's say you're on a CPAP or something like that, and you need to run it. Well, I mean, or let's say you have a fan in your room that's running, and you need that to go to sleep. Well, you might want to think about that too. So you have multiple ones, and maybe they're a little more affordable. And like I said, you can use solar when it's available, because I have fold-out solar panels that could easily charge all of my solar devices. So I could sit here and use them up for other things at night. And then for the critical things during the day, I was talking to Jason from So the Land. He was without power and he was doing the very same thing, man. He's like, dude, the only thing I'm worried about is keeping this meat frozen. Everything else, man, we can live with. I mean, he didn't, as I understand it, I don't believe he was able to get water out of the well, but one of these days I'll get down there and get him squared away, because he does have 240 volt capability. He just didn't have a way of getting it up. He just didn't have it hooked up to the whole house, which, obviously that's my wheelhouse. That's what I do. That's it. Do what it do, in the words of Snoop Dogg. All right. So Redemption Shield. Yeah. 10% off with promo code PERMA. Look, y'all, I'm right here in this studio and I'm G'd up from the feet up as always. No advertiser comes to me. I go to them. And Redemption Shield, check it out, man. Their grounding mats work, and I use them all the time. There's not a day that goes by where I don't use it if I'm at the house. All right, so usually I have a good news section, and I'm going to tie the good news into what I'm going to call the main event as well, or the main topic. Let me think. Well, let me cover more preparedness, and then I'm going to call this good news, okay? Y'all, I've seen so far through this tragedy, we're almost a weekend or maybe a weekend, I guess. And I've seen some of the best humanity has to offer. And I've seen some selfish SOBs too. And I'm talking like, there may be business owners around you that probably made a killing on some of this thing, on this whole tragedy, in Western North Carolina. You might also ask, man, have they done anything? Have they decided to be like a drop point for, volunteers? Have they done anything for the community? Because I'm so community-minded, man, and I'm always thinking about that sort of thing. So I'm taking note of the people who really, really stood out and the ones who were just there to profit. I mean, that's fine, man. Make your profit. Do what you got to do. But at the same time, I saw some, how do I say this? If you want to know just how quickly, because the power is coming on in certain areas in Madison County where I live, if you want to see how quickly a person will go into the matrix, judge it on the basis of how quickly the power comes on. When the power, first of all, I witnessed people that were losing their ever-loving minds when all this happened. And they were frantic, going crazy, spreading wild rumors. And that's another bad thing that went down. I'll get to that in a second. But there were a whole lot of people that were losing their minds when this thing first jumped off. And then all of a sudden, their power came on, but nobody else's did because they were closest to the highway. And then all of a sudden, they're being highly critical of the other people complaining, not complaining, but just talking about the fact that they don't yet have power. So, and then later on, a couple of days removed, because they were without power for only like a day or two. And you can see the changes in these people based on what initially happened. And I pay attention to those things. I pay attention to those people, and I'm asking, okay, this is how they behaved when the shoe was on the other foot. So be thinking about those people and think about whether or not those are people you even want to think about having in your mutual assistance group. Because I dare say they're probably not the kind of people you want in there. So I have seen some awful behavior, and I'll start with that first, because there has really been some awesome, wonderful things that went on. So let's start with the bad. I don't know why Let me just start this way. Back when I was still in the union, doing electrical work, you would always, I mean, you're always in and out of work. I mean, it's not uncommon to be laid off and be laid off for, you know, who knows how long. There was never been a time where you're on a decent sized job and then somebody, because he thinks it's funny, will create a rumor that there's about to be a layoff. Now you're dealing with a lot of people that are accustomed to living that from hand to mouth, are always wondering, man, you know, how am I going to put bread on the table? Or, you know, for some guys, things may not be wonderful at home. I mean, there's a whole variety of reasons why, you know, people just kind of lose their minds with all this stuff. But I can't even tell you the number of people I've worked on the crew. Let's start a rumor. No, I'm not starting a rumor. Why would you do this to people, man? Well, the same exact thing seems to unfold when you're in the middle of a crisis. And people, for no reason whatsoever, will just absolutely make up lies to stress out other people. Now, it wasn't working on me, but I'm looking at the effects of what it creates in the other people around me. I mean, we'll just absolutely, oh, so this building got blown away, or, you know, I drove by so-and-so and the whole road was out, or this and that. It became so bad that Michelle and I got to the point where we wouldn't even believe anything. It got to the point where it was less reliable in some cases than NPR, than listening to NPR and trying to get an update on what was going on. Because for days and days, they didn't do that. Man, you have got to know, I mean, it just makes me sick, honestly, that there are people that are out there doing that sort of thing. And I can't even believe the numbers of them that were doing that, telling you roads were closed and they were completely open just to lie about it, because they thought they somehow got some kind of sick humor out of that. People are dying over here and people are dead. I mean, where we were today, there are dead people, and lots of them. And people are getting off thinking it's some kind of funny, whatever, you know, they're getting off on stressing other people out. It just makes me sick. All right, with that, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider. When we come back, I'll tell you the good news.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, how are you getting out? Car-centric development has been one of the worst decisions we ever made in the U.S., for many reasons. I remember Bill Mollison said we should have used blimps instead of wasting all that energy building roads. What has become painfully obvious is that in an emergency, you are going nowhere in a car in most towns and cities. Most cities become parking lots during normal traffic. During floods or road closures, you need an alternative. Motorcycles, e-bikes, and regular bicycles are a great alternative, especially if you can charge the e-bike or motorcycle from solar panels. How far outside a city do you think you have to get before the roads open up? I'd guess 50 miles, perhaps, depending on the city and the area. A kayak or a paddleboard might be a lifesaver in a flood, and you can put an inflatable one in a closet and not take up much space at all. But what about non-motorized transportation? Most of the time, a horse is just an expensive pet, but if you can ride it, then it becomes solar-powered transportation. For smaller properties, a donkey is a great option. Even better to have two and a cart, and you can probably carry more than most modern trucks. There is always walking. How far can you walk in a day? 10 miles is probably a good starting point, but 10 miles isn't that far. How about carrying supplies? There's no point in having a large go bag you can't carry more than 100 feet. We can get depressed and hopeless focusing on the negative, or we can empower ourselves by getting prepared. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there, but this is starting to get freaky, Eric, because you're in my head, bro. I've been saying for years in terms of preparedness, everybody would always talk about a bug out bag and stuff like that. And yeah, you know, I'm all about it. But a soldier with a 35-pound pack, fully loaded and in really great shape, can walk about 25 miles in 8 hours, and you're going to be absolutely wore out. I mean, absolutely wore out. I was saying for years, man, why not get a bicycle, even a collapsible bicycle? If you had a bike, do you have any idea the distance you could cover with the same amount of weight, with a fraction of the energy, and still get there and still have gas in the tank? I mean, I don't know how long it takes to get 25 miles on a bike. I've never actually worked that one out. But good night, man. I mean, it's a fraction of the time and a fraction of the energy, which is why I got an e-bike coming right now for exactly the reason Eric was talking about. You know, when everybody was all, you know, when the roads were impassable or whatever, you think I can get a bike around all that stuff? Absolutely, I could have. An e-bike where you're, you know, some of these ones out there, man, there's a couple of them I saw and get up to 150 miles. I mean, they got double batteries on them, but good night, man. I mean, you could absolutely get through all of these things with absolutely no problem at all. Or let's say you were in Asheville and you had to get to where I am. Well, we're 30 minutes north. You could easily do that on an e-bike. I mean, yeah, maybe you pedal downhill or, you know, yeah, it's up and downhill. There's a whole lot of that, but you could absolutely get that done easily on an e-bike. So, I mean, in terms of just emergency preparedness alone, man, even if you had nothing more than a pedal bike, which is more than sufficient, you would be absolutely stunned at how far you could get if you had to. Because like Eric said, I mean, if you think at the end of the day, you're going to get anywhere in a car when things, okay, let's just say things were, you know, the worst were to happen. You couldn't get out, your traffic jam, whatever. You needed to escape. Guarantee you can get out on a bike. You're not getting out in a car. So that's something else to consider as well. So before we get into the main thing, check this out. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Man, okay, yeah, things do jump off. And judging by the way things are going right now, it's a real possibility. They're doing everything they possibly can to create World War III. And in fact, some are even saying that we're in the middle of it right now. It just ends with nuclear weapons. You dig? So anyway, look, if you find yourself and things go stupid, you're not going to the club. You're going to the house. You're going to your bug out location. Or, you know, things get stupid on your house. Let's say it's a lightning strike, which is the most common, or, you know, the thing you really have to look out for the most. If anything gets Kentucky fried downstream of your EMP shield on your house, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right, so let me tell you about the good news. This is the other half of what I was going to talk about a moment ago. So for days and days, man, I've been praying like, Lord, please put me where I can be of service around here. What can I do? I mean, yeah, I mean, we don't have power, but, you know, I can get these things running. I can go off for a few hours. I can get nobody in very close proximity had any real catastrophic damage. I mean, yeah, you know, there may have been some trees laid over and stuff like that, but I don't see any land in anybody's house. So that's a good thing, at least where I'm located in this town. But I'm telling you what, y'all, Mars Hill, where I live, for the most part, I mean, they're over at the college, man, they missed, I think, one day of practice. It's kind of disturbing considering how many people you can mobilize at a college, but when you see them out there playing, you know, practicing football, it just seems so freaking odd that in every town around here, they're dead and dying as we speak. As I'm recording this right now, every single town surrounding here has been absolutely clobbered far beyond imagining, except ours. I mean, we lost some stuff here and there, lost some lines, but by and large, I mean, we're the only town. If I were to just go around where I am in Mars Hill, every single town from Burnsville, Bernardsville, Weaverville, Marshall, I mean, you name it, man, Hot Springs, all of them absolutely devastated. And we escaped. Thank you, Lord. But I'm sitting here every time we've tried to go out and help and do something. Every single time we turn around, man, it's like they're either turning us around or there's just no place to go. Nobody's telling you anything. Nobody on any of the radio stations around here is saying, hey, volunteers, head to point A, you know, or point B, whatever the case may be. There's not a rallying point for anybody. And I'm like, man, you know, I know there are people dying and suffering all around me. And then all the stories I'm hearing from people I know saying, man, we've tried. We were out here helping. And then the feds come in and they run us off. There was a guy out there rescuing people in his own helicopter. And the sheriff, I think it was Lake Lure. And the sheriff basically said, you rescue one more person, you're going to jail. I mean, appalling. Absolutely. I don't know if this was ego involved. I don't know what it was, but there's no good reason why you would tell somebody who has his private helicopter and he's rescuing people to stop helping people. Well, finally, we got from, you know, my friends at the Farm Connection, Allison over there, you know, we've texted back and forth since this whole thing went off. And she was telling me, you know, there's people being held up for gas or, you know, highwaymen basically out here doing some pretty awful things. And, you know, just kind of give me a heads up about what's going on in her area, because she does live in Marshall and the whole town of Marshall was basically washed away. I just put a YouTube video out today. You might've seen it by now, but, man, we go out there and she says, hey, we're trying to put together a GoFundMe, man. Do you think you can help? Can you come out here? Maybe, you know, give us a little bit of, coverage. And I'm like, man, this is exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm like, okay, is there some, can I help? Can I work? That's what I want to do. I want to come out. She's like, you can do it all. So, you know, this afternoon we finally had a chance to get out there and we finally got out there and, folks, what I saw just warmed my heart beyond imagining. You got a whole gang of hippies out there, man, all dressed up in Tyvek suits and, N95 masks. And because of what happened upstream in Marshall, where basically a plastics plant that was located near the river basically lost not only all the PVC pipe, but all the chemicals they used to make that PVC pipe. All that's in the river, y'all. All of it. And it just sickens me. All of that went into the river, and a lot of it landed right there in Marshall. So all that stuff is all over the town, and these people, selfless people, people that are doing all of this with no thought of reward, no thought of pay, no thought of anything. And by the way, all this, you got to be wondering why we even pay taxes when FEMA has zero presence here. And it's actually a good thing, because these people are putting together their own little FEMA, and by hand and by farms, local farmers that have a tractor or a backhoe or anything else. They're digging this place out. And tomorrow I'm going to be knee deep in it myself. And that's why I was going to say to y'all, I'm pretty sure that event with Renewed Homestead is not going to be happening on October 5th in Burnsville. But if anybody's so inclined, man, I'm going to be out there in Marshall and I'm going to be lending a hand in any way I can. I will try to get you. When I did the video, I mean, good night, man. I'll find some way to put it on social media exactly where that's going to be. But in Marshall, they're rallying at a place where they make these little tiny homes. If you find the name of it in that video, I'm pretty sure you can get the address. I listed it on there. I can't think of the name right now, but anyway, that's where I'm going to be October 5th. And if anybody else wants to go out there, man, I'd love to see you, because that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to do my thing. Usually I'm resting on that day, but man, these are people that need the help. And I'm going to help. I'm going to help in any way I can. But folks, what I saw today, I'm seeing people out there, sweaty, nasty, dirty, stinky, you name it. And they ain't complaining. All smiles. There's other volunteers out there, breakfast, lunch, dinner, man. These people are out there. The businesses that were able to maintain, man, they're dropping off pizzas. They're dropping off drinks. I mean, good food. I mean, you name it, man. They got it out there. They're feeding you morning, noon, and night. And not just the workers, but the people that just, look, if you just don't have anything to eat, they're looking after you. I mean, Mellow Mushroom, they dropped off, I don't even know how many pizzas out there. I mean, these people are doing all this, y'all, and they're not being paid for it. They're not being compensated for it. Uncle Sam ain't helping out. You know how many businesses were just now starting to get back on their feet after COVID? Just now getting there, and then they literally got washed away right there in that town. And because it was a flood, I don't believe any of them had flood insurance. I mean, even though some of these people were not even in flood-prone areas, they got washed away as well. Man, this is how we're going to have to do it, y'all. Because honestly, with as shaky ground as our country's on right now, I don't see any other way. I don't see any other way. Sadly, it takes a calamity like this for us to kind of, and I include myself in this problem, for us to say, you know what, man, let me go out here and lend a hand. You know, I'm hoping at the same time, maybe I get to know some people. Maybe I make some friends out of the deal. Because frankly, I'm so isolated half the time. I mean, I'm working so much here that I just don't take the time to get out and meet other people. And you know, in all my years of volunteerism, and folks, that's always been a big, big thing in my life. I mean, all the way back, as soon as I got out of the Army, I mean, I was, you name it, I can't even tell you how many Habitat for Humanity houses I put together. Can't tell you how many Christmas and October houses I've done. I can't even tell you about all the volunteer work, whether it was Shakespeare in the Park in Oklahoma when they burned it down. You know, I was spearheading all of that stuff, man. Volunteerism has been a very large part of my life. And I've not done it in a while, but I got to say, the most satisfying work that I've ever done. Never been paid a dime for it. So, folks, whether you're in the middle of this calamity or you were thinking about going to this thing, maybe you might want to join me out there. Because honestly, I can't wait. I cannot wait to be every bit as nasty and dirty and you name it. As what I saw out there, I'm not a lazy man. I mean, I work too much. People say I'm a workaholic. But man, I almost envied what I saw out there. I mean that, y'all. I almost envied the fact, I envied the camaraderie they had, the fellowship, the brotherhood. I envied what I saw out there. Nobody complaining. Everybody doing everything they possibly could. And that's exactly where I'm going to be, y'all. So, like I said, I know this show has been a little bit disjointed as of late. And folks, I'm hearing some awful things going on in some other places like Chimney Rock, man. There's word that they're just going to bulldoze the whole town with bodies and everything out there. I mean, has it been confirmed? Not entirely, not yet. But at this point, nothing would shock me. There's a whole lot of rumors out there. Now, I know about the quartz mines over here, over in Spruce Pine. I know about that. And then, of course, the lithium deposits, since we no longer have Afghanistan. Well, you know, maybe there's a whole lot of people that want to sell off and, you know, let them strip mine or however they mine that stuff. I don't know what's going on exactly. But when you look at the work of Dane Wigington and you look at the work of all these other people, look, y'all, I booked Dane for that show 2 weeks ago. No, this hurricane wasn't even in the cards. Nobody was talking about it. Over 2 weeks ago, actually, that I had him booked for this show. And you tell me the timing could not have been more perfect. I don't think that was an accident. I really don't. Look, y'all, they have the power to control this weather. And we're seeing more and more and more and more of it. This thing is unfolding in a way that I've been at this for a very long time, and I know how difficult some of this stuff may be to swallow. And look, I get it, man. Some of this stuff is so wild, it's hard to believe. But, you know, sufficiently advanced technology, you know, seems like magic to the uninitiated. I mean, I think it was Arthur C. Clarke that said something similar to that. But here we are. Folks, make everybody, I'm not saying this so you watch my videos, but man, please make that video go viral with Dane Wigington. Give it to everybody you know. I mean, let them call you a conspiracy nut, because at this point, I don't even care. I don't even care what anybody thinks of me anymore. I used to be a person that was always worried about what somebody might think about me, man. I've been so far beyond that. In fact, I might have gone a little bit too far. But look, I'm going to talk about these things as I see it. I'm going to tell you the truth the way I see it. And the truth is, look, man, these people want you dead. As crazy as that sounds, they want you dead. I mean, look at the, you know what? I was going to go a little bit deeper here, y'all, but I'm going to try to keep it on a positive note if I possibly can. There's a lot of weird stuff, a lot of death going on around here. Entire town swept away. And every single time they do a press conference, every time somebody asks about fatalities, they dance around the question. Nobody ever answers anything. You know, Biden supposedly does a flyover in Marine One. And all the Asheville mayor can do is go on and, you know, bluster about this nonsense. We got people dead everywhere. And all they're talking about is Asheville. You take the totality of all the people that live in the places, the little towns, the hamlets, all the way around this place, it dwarfs the population of Asheville by many magnitudes. Nobody's talking about those people. Nobody's talking about that calamity, that just this accident that just happened to happen down in Georgia. All these things that just happen to be just, you know, coincidences. They're not coincidences, y'all. This stuff is manufactured, every single bit of it. And lately, even our weather. But look, there's light at the end of the tunnel, y'all. If you haven't already, I keep appealing to all of you out there. Everybody's waiting for somebody else to start it. Look, just put out the word, start your own mutual assistance group. You don't have to live with each other. You go out there and you basically put together before a calamity, and then you have means, you know, I'm going to have people on the show in the future where you can put out the bat signal. And everybody knows to rally at a certain place because somebody, let's say, had a fire or a tornado hit somebody's place or whatever. Everybody knows to go to that place to help out that family or whatever the case may be. You may be on the receiving end of that. You may be the one giving aid. Whatever the case may be, y'all, now is the time. You don't have time. You can't count on the government. They're not going to be there for you. FEMA, I mean, we got all the money in the world. You know, it blows my mind. When I was in the 82nd Airborne, it's not the motto. The motto for the 82nd Airborne is all the way. But one of the claims to fame of the 82nd Airborne is that we can be anywhere in the world in 18 hours or less. Okay? That was the claim to fame of the 82nd Airborne. Anywhere in the world in 18 hours or less. Check this out. When Hurricane Andrew happened, I think it was back in 92. I was there. I think they took all of Bravo Company 307th Engineer Battalion. I was in Alpha Company. They took that whole company and they sent them down at Hurricane Andrew for disaster relief. 82nd Airborne, as the crow flies, is probably at an hour and a half or 2 hours away. Why hasn't anybody deployed them here? You know what? When I was in the when I was at Fort Carson, they needed volunteer smoke jumpers out there at the Mendocino National Forest to do some of that work. Also in Sisters, Oregon, I was deployed on that one. I was there. I was one of those people that were there. Active duty soldier that was sent into these places to help in disaster relief. Where are they now? They can't be deployed, or they're being marshaled for another reason altogether. You know, we got to murder people elsewhere. Because we were used for those things. Where are they now? Those forces aren't being used for any of this stuff right now, and they could be. We're not, you know, it's not a police action or anything like that. Yeah, National Guard, you got those guys, but you don't have anywhere near enough for the scale of the disaster. All right, y'all. Sorry about the somber note. I'm going to get back on track hopefully next week. But please understand that, man, things are very, very fluid and they're going at 100 miles an hour. We're not only trying to maintain things around here, but also trying to be a blessing to the people around us, because we are in uncharted territory and there are people out there suffering. And I've just been praying to the good Lord to, you know, just make me useful. Put me, I'm my friend Shane, who runs the Creaky Tree Cafe, extremely well-trained in all kinds of medical stuff, firearms, you name it. And he's been saying the same thing to me, man. I just want to be useful. I just want to help somebody. I mean, there are those of us out there that aren't the, we aren't the people that are looking to aggrandize ourselves in the face of a calamity. We're wanting to be a blessing to the people around us. Shane is going to be over there in Spruce Pine, and they're going to be putting up a 250, they're going to be putting up something to house 250 guys that are supposedly coming in from Louisiana. I wish I could go out there and help them, but I can't even get to Spruce Pine right now. I can't get across Burnsville to get to Spruce Pine. So I'm going to go to Marshall. And like I said, y'all, October 5th, I'm going to be there. And hopefully I'll see some of y'all there as well. Let's go out there and get dirty together. Let's go get this work done. And let's be a blessing to our communities and start your mutual assistance group, y'all. Just like I say in every show, until next time, stay alert, stay alive. I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a cell. They wanna spin up at the center of the next is me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will never bow down, 'cause I'm a warrior.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.